Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. God bless you. Good evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Happy New Year. Wow. I know this is a happy new year. People are rejoicing to get just to get out of 2020, if not to welcome 2021, but just to get out of 2020. Happy New Year. God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, and this is DTW Ministries right here on Purpose Kingdom Network by way of Blog Talk. We thank God for you. Thank God for you tuning in. We just thank God. God has truly been good in the midst. I know you've heard this, and it seems to be have become a cliche in 2020, but in the midst of a pandemic, God has still been and is, always will be good. Ah, we have a good God. I'm so grateful to God. You know, in the midst of friends passing, you know, I have almost a dozen people that I know personally that have passed in 2020 that were young men, young women, that this pandemic just took a hold of, and they lost their lives. We mourn with those that mourn and weep with those that weep, but we rejoice in the Lord, because I would say almost all of them knew the Lord, you know, and we thank God just for his mercy, how he's kept us. You know, we've had members of our family pass last year, and, you know, 2021 was so and has been and is such a welcomed year to get out of 2020, you know, unscathed. I can't say unaffected, because we had actually went off the air for some while because of some of the things that had happened, that I had, you know, yeah, Reverend Aaron, you know, had been diagnosed, not medically, but spiritually depressed. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to work. The only thing I did want to do was eat. Yeah. But I rebuked myself, you know, because you cannot allow life to shut your mouth. I want to say that to us Christians and those that are preachers, that are teachers, that the word of God rests in your mouth. You cannot let life shut your mouth. Someone has to hear you. That's why God put the word in you. God didn't put the word in you for you. God put the word in you for those that have to hear you. Remember, he says he gave gifts to men, and some he gave to the church, you know, some apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some preachers, some prophets. Why? He put them there for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the ministry, for the working of the ministry. So what's in you is not for you. So we can't glory in what we have. We glory in the God that gave it for our benefit. Now, I want you right there to clap your hands and thank God for your pastors. Thank God for your teachers. Thank God for those who labor in love to build us up and strengthen us as we continue to move forward. Yeah, I might be a reverend, but I thank God I have a pastor. I thank God I have someone that I'm accountable to. I thank God that I have someone that I can go to, I can talk to, I can hear a word from God when I can't hear, because it seems that I might be in a dry and weary land. It's nothing like, I would say, affliction. It's nothing like heartache. It's nothing like hardship to really tune in and tune up your senses in the spirit. So I thank God for that minute of rest, because I used it as a resting period. I came back for a little while, just rejuvenated and excited about the things of God. But as I look out into the church world, as I look out into Christendom, as I look out into the state of our nation, not, let alone this, it seems that there's more so a pandemic of pride and selfishness. I ain't going to mess with it too much right there. That's for a later time, because we're going to get there in this scripture that we have. But I'm going to save that one for a later time, because what we want to talk about here is the lost son. In Luke, the 15th chapter, the story, we call it the prodigal son. The caption in my Bible calls it the lost son. So we want to call it the lost son. And I just really used those words because I wanted to say it differently than what has always been said. But the thing that's really unique about this, I looked up one word that he said, I want to read this first, but as always, let's open up. I'm just opening. Let's open up in a word of prayer. God and our Father, we do thank you. Thank you again for this word. God, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your people. God, I thank you even, God, for the pandemic. Thank you for our president. Thank you for all things, for you said in everything, God, to give you thanks. So we thank you for all that we've experienced thus far. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, get glory to yourself tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. When I think about this, I try not to, as much as I can, harp on and harbor on those things that people always talk about, what's not right. We don't want, because what's not right, we can always find fault. We can always find fault in things people do and things people say and the way that they do it. And what seems to be the key, or what seems to be the norm now, is I'm upset with you not because you do it right, or not because you do it wrong, not because you do it black, not because you do it white, but just because you don't do it like I do it, or you don't do it like I think you should do it, or you don't do it the way I think you should do it. So we find a lot of difference, or a lot of struggle, a lot of conflict in our difference. But let me tell you, child of God, we are not as the world is. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are different. God made us a body. What does that mean? That means that the things that make us different is what makes us strong. I want to rest right there, because I want you to hear that. The things that make us different, the things that make us unique, the things that make us our hands and feet, the things that make us different parts, different members of the same body, is the thing that makes us strong. But we have to get past our own idiosyncratic tendencies. We have to get past our own prideful misconceptions of each other and begin to understand why I'm different. Why does a foot differ from a hand? I can walk on my hand. Well, I know I used to be able to. I don't know if I can do it now with all this weight on me. I'd probably fall straight on my forehead. But anyway, there was a time I could walk on my hands. But that didn't mean that that's how I was going to do it, because I could, because my feet are made for that. But I could do it. So there's parts of me that are tender. There's parts of me that are soft. There's parts of me that are hard. Why? Because they're made and tempered for certain functions. My goodness. I'm going to get into this lost son. But as we look at each other, we have to recognize what makes me different. What makes me unique is the same thing that links me with you. This is why 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is so important in the Christian walk. This is why this has to become our mantra. Why? Because the thing that links us is not just the spirit. The thing that links us is not just our faith. The thing that links us is where the rubber meets the road. The thing that links us is love. But we have to define what love is. Is it the warm and fuzzies? Is it the stroking of your ego? Is it just the soft and cuddly. What is love? How do you define what love is when you're using your own mirror, when you're using your own measuring stick, when you're using your own circles and your own clique, when you're using your own friends? How can you measure what love is but by Christ, but by the Word of God, but by the Spirit of God? I want to challenge you right there. This is challenge number 1021, the first challenge for DTW Ministries. Allow the Word of God to temper your love. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to temper what love is defined in your life. We look for that warm and fuzzy. We look for that makes us feel good, but there is a love that rebukes. There is a love that chastises. There is a love that we don't like, that's not cuddly. There is a love that corrects, but it's still love. No matter how much my grandmother, no matter how much my parents corrected me, no matter how much I was on punishment, no matter how many whippings I received, there never came a question in my heart, in my mind, in my understanding, even as a child, that these people loved me. I didn't like it all the time, but I never thought that they didn't love me. They corrected me. They chastised me. They pointed out the things I was doing wrong. They whipped me. It was called whippings back then. But love was never a question. When we look in the story of the prodigal son, we know that there's two sons. As a matter of fact, the parable starts off, a certain man had two sons. But the beginning of this is because the scribes and Pharisees were upset because Jesus was eating with sinners. Jesus was going places they didn't think he should be. And this is a lot to do with why we have separation, because people, you know, self-righteous folk have a standard that they've created on their own. But if you read the Word of God, and I'm not going to tell nobody, go find your old friends and start hanging out. A lot of that warning comes because it's easier to pull people down, they say, than it is to pull people up. So we know a lot of times when we go back into our old things and our old neighborhoods and hang with our old friends, a lot of those old habits come back up. You know, we don't want to hang around familiar spirits. We want to get into the likeness of Christ by hanging with the saints. But that's a whole different story. But when we talk about these two sons, they were two completely different sons. I feel a struggle and an argument in this because I like using my imagination. And I know coming up in a house that was filled with older and younger, I was right in the middle. We had siblings or aunts and uncles. You know, when you back in the day, everybody lived in the same house. So we had people that were older, that were my parents, that were their sister and brothers, and, you know, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents, and then all of the offspring of my aunts and uncles, my cousins, and we all lived in the same house, and I was the oldest grand. I was the oldest of the next generation. I was 10 years older than everyone, so they expected me to behave a certain way, so I got whipped a lot for stuff that my cousins didn't get whipped for, which had me with, so I had attitude. I had an attitude that, well, how can they get away with this stuff and I don't get away? Because there was an expectation for greater on me, just as I believe it was on this older son. This is why this older son didn't really readily receive the younger son when he came back broke. Yeah, we wanted to talk about that. We're going to save that for the next time. But this is, I believe, why he didn't readily receive the theme of the story. You know, we talk about the prodigal son, but the real theme of the story is not really about the son. The story is really about the father that forgave. The story is really about the love of the Father, the love of God for us, the love of God for us that even while we're lost, even while what he gave us we waste, even while what he put in our hands we turned it into trash, but he's still there with compassion. He's still there with open arms. He's still there to receive us. Matter of fact, he's looking for us now. Oh, I didn't mean to get there this fast, but, you know, when you're excited, I got to have my notes in front of me to keep me at points, because once I get excited, I go straight for the fire. You know, I tell people often, because I'm sorry that I learned how to preach in prison, but, you know, when you have a time, you know, you have a time to get in, a time to get out, and sometimes, you know, things go out of whack, and then you get up and you only have 20 minutes left. You only have 15 minutes left. You have to deliver a message. You have to be able to preach and give what God gave you in a very short time and very impactful way at the same time to affect these men's lives and to speak into their lives. So I often jump, points to get to the meat of what the Lord is giving me, because I understand that although we have a full hour, time flies. And I want you to hear this. God's love for us is defined and shown in the love that this Father has for this Son. It says, and I'm going to begin reading in chapter 15 of the book of Luke, and I'm going to start reading at verse 11. And it says, and he said, a certain man, he said, that's Jesus, said a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth me. Give me what belongs to me. Give me that which you got in store for me. Give it to me now. You know, and he divided unto them, listen, his living. That word right there is very important. He didn't divide unto him. He didn't divide unto them what was due the son. He divided unto them half of what he had. Now we know, if we check Jewish culture, that the older son got a bigger portion. He got the lion's share. But the younger son had a portion and an inheritance or an estate that came and befell to him. So he divided into them his living. And not many days, you know, I know how I was when I was young. Boy, I had a couple of dollars. Man, that money was burning up in my pocket. I couldn't hold on to it. And this seems to happen, and I'm sorry to say it, and I think I think I can say it, being a man of color, that a lot of times that we as brown-skinned people, you know, use these opportunities of blessings to shine, to stunt, you know, to get the bling-bling, to get the newer card. You know, I was driving down the street, and God knows, God got to forgive me, he got to help me, but I want a S550. And for those who don't know what that is, that's a Mercedes. That's the flagship line. That's the same line of car that the Maybach is made from. But, you know, I can't afford a Maybach, but I definitely can afford an S550. Do I need one? No. But I love the car. I seen one today, and oh my goodness, it was beautiful. I wanted it. And that car is definitely a year's worth of my salary, definitely. And the only thing that stopped me from getting it earlier is the maintenance and upkeep of the car. You know, because you can't take it to a Hyundai dealer. You have to take it to a Mercedes dealer. You know, but oftentimes when we get, you know, we get our stimulus check, you know, we ready to spend. This is one reason why the government was ready to give so easily. Why? What did they say it would do? It was a stimulus check. What they don't really want to stimulate you. They want to stimulate the economy because they know 9 out of 10, I would say 8 out of 10, are going to spend that money as soon as they get it. And it's going to boost the economy back to where they want it to be. This is why it's called a stimulus check. It's not a stimulus check for you. Well, what can $600 do for you if you hadn't had income in 6 months? But it's to stimulate the economy. It's to stimulate, you know, buying again. It's to start it's to get the economy back into the black. But this son, he went and got everything that he had. Not many days after, he took all that he had and he took his journey into a far country. I don't know whose story this is, but this is definitely me. I wanted to get as far away from home as I could. I wanted to get as far away so I could do my thing and I had to worry about nobody seeing me. But who knows, when you think nobody see you, you're always seen by somebody. I don't care how far you went. You know, you can ask my wife, every vacation just about that we went on. You know, we walking down the beach, we in the hotel, we were somewhere and somebody called me by name. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's nothing like going to where you think an exotic vacation along with your significant other, with your spouse, and somebody calling you by name. So, my goodness, vacation just felt like it was over. But I thank God for those times. You know, went to it and wasted. And this is the key point I wanted to start out. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. This is why he is considered and called the prodigal son, because he wasted his substance. This is the same thing with the servant that had the one talent and buried it. He wasted what he was given. His substance was supposed to sustain him through life. What did the master say when he came? He said, why didn't you take my money and put it in the bank? Why didn't you give it to those who handled the money that I might gain interest, that I might have more when I came back? The problem and the reason why he's called the prodigal son is because he wasted the part of his earnings. He wasted the part of his estate that was supposed to sustain him. Oh, my God. He wasted the part that was supposed to be put in an investment that he could live off the interest for the rest of his life. His father gave him enough to carry him through life. My God. I know somebody's hearing exactly what I'm saying, because God, despite our disobedience, despite our leaving church, despite our leaving God still gave us enough to sustain ourselves. God still gave us enough ingenuity. He still gave us enough wherewithal. He still gave us enough energy. He still gave us enough strength. He still gave us enough wisdom that we wouldn't waste what he gave us, living foolishly, living frivolously, living emptily, emptying out of our substance. But we know he says on riotous living. What that means, he didn't have a drink. He didn't just go and party. He didn't just go and hang out. He went and, you know, drinks for everybody. He lived extravagantly. He lived above his means. When I look at that S550, I want it. I talked to God today. I stopped past because I drive past the car dealer on the way to work every morning. So this morning I pulled over, and I don't know why I pulled over. I pulled over and I got out and I looked at the car. I was like, oh my goodness, this car was gorgeous. This car was gorgeous. I said, oh my God. I said, God, I want this car. What do I have to do to get it? You know, I'm thinking about work. I'm thinking about another job. I'm thinking about a side gig. I'm thinking about online jobs. I'm thinking about Uber. I'm thinking about anything I can do to get, because I can afford it now, but what will I have to lose to keep it? I can get it and make the monthly payment, but what will I have to turn off? Will I have to eat oodles and noodles? Will I have to eat ramen for the next 2 years? What are we really to sacrifice when our lives are full of selfishness? When our lives are full of pride, people will allow their pride to destroy whole fellowships and then use the line, God has here who he wants here. No, you got here who you want here because the people you didn't like, you chased them out. You chase them out with your arrogance. You chase them out with your impatience. You chase them out with your judgment. You chase them out with your tongue. You chase them out with your disrespect. You chase them out. People are trying to live godly, but they have to fight us, saints. Some of the things we say to people, if it wasn't for God in their lives and them trying to live holy, we'd have been beat down a long time ago. This prodigal son wasted his substance. Don't waste your substance. Don't waste what God is giving you. Don't waste the opportunity. We're looking for success. And God is saying, seek me first. We're looking for things. We're looking to attain things. And God is saying, look for me, because if you seek me first in the kingdom, all these things will be added, the things, and then add God as a sidebar. We want these things and then add God, you know, as an accessory. Oh, my goodness. God is saying, I need to be the main course. I need to be the focal part of your searching. Challenge number two. We're at challenge number two in January of 2021. And I always, this has been a challenge that I think I say almost every broadcast. Whatever you're doing in prayer, increase it. Whatever you're doing in study, increase it. Increase it 5 minutes. Increase it 10 minutes. I'm not saying increase it substantially, but I'm saying begin to move into more time in the things attract God. Begin to seek God like never before. This son was so impatient. Why? The father has all this money. Why am I here feeding sheep? Why am I a farm boy when my dad is rich? Why am I doing these things? Why ain't I got a BMW? Why can't I live life like some of my friends do? They dad's rich. My dad's here. Got me feeding the goats. I want to get up out of here. Dad, give me what belongs to me so I can get up out of here. Some of us want God just to get what we want so we can get up out of God. My goodness. This is some hard stuff even for me, and I'm the one who's coming out of. We want God for the fishes and the loaves. And God is saying, seek me with your whole heart. Me with all you have. And I'll give you all I got. Listen, my goodness. The older son was mad and would not come in the house when the son came back and the father received him. The father said, why are you upset? He said, because this boy, the left, took the money, spent the money, wasted the money. Now he broke. Now he coming back home and you don't receive, you don't let him come back. Listen, this is real key right here. My goodness, this is real key right here. And the elder son, he said, this brother has come because he received him life. He was safe. And it was necessary that we would do this. He said, I've been with you these many years, and I serve you. I didn't transgress at any time your commandments, and you never gave me a key. But as soon as this son, wasted his money with harlots, killed the fatted calf. And he said, son, this you got. If you don't hear nothing, you got to hear this. You are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. My God. Ooh, my goodness. The father divided the estate between his two sons. He gave the younger son what befell him as an inheritance. The older son was upset when the younger son wasted all of his inheritance. Some people are upset with you because they don't think you're living up to the potential of your gift. Ooh, that's a story. That's a story right there by itself. They're upset with you because they think you're wasting what God gave you. I've heard people say, oh, man, if I could sing and minister like you, whew, man, I'd be, because they don't think you're efficient in the things that God gave you. And they make statements out of their mouths to let you know. They don't mean any harm by it, but, you know, they say what they say. And he said, all that I have. That meant that what he had left, my God, oh, Jesus, the cattle on a thousand hills, we know the word says belong to our God. But this young man was not aware. He was not cognizant that though the father had gave this son everything, that meant that everything that was left belonged to him. Because he divided, listen, what we read at the beginning in verse 12, he divided between them his living. So he was the father, but everything he had that was at his estate at that time now fell to the oldest son. My goodness. I want to talk to somebody. You've been in church. You've been in church while people like me went out and did their thing. And now God has brought us back. Brought us back into the fold. Brought us back into prominence. Brought us back into position. Brought us back into purpose. Don't get upset. Don't allow your pride. Don't allow. This scripture is written for you. Just like this scripture is written for us that were prodigals, that we should come in humbly. For this younger son said, I will arise and go to my father. My father got servants that eat better than this, that live better than this. I will humble myself and become as a servant to my father. I don't deserve to be a son. True repentance helps us to be aware that without the mercy of God, we deserve none of his goodness. Without the forgiveness and the forbearance and the long-suffering and the patience of God, we have nothing that we can offer. My goodness. What God gave is still his. What God has is still his. He gives this to us freely, but it's still his grace. It's still his gift. It's still his anointing. Yeah, I have an anointing on my life, but it's God's anointing. For we have no power of our own. It doesn't matter how ebullient. It doesn't matter how, I would say, demonstrative. It doesn't matter how you minister. It matters only if the anointing is present, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Us prodigal sons need to know that humility is our walk. God will restore, but we have to remain humble. we want to tell you also, you older men, you older sons that stayed, don't allow pride to push you out of place. Don't allow pride to push you out of purpose, because everything that God has in the house still belongs to you. God put us in position and brought us back into the fold that he may use us to his glory. But if you stayed, I'm going to tell you there's a greater blessing for you. I want to talk to those, because I've seen some. I've seen some that don't speak to Brother Ann, don't minister to Brother Ann, don't fellowship with Brother Ann, because they remember Brother Ann. They remember Ann from back in the day. They remember Ann sang on the choir and did all the things that he was doing, but was doing all the things he wanted to do also. They remember that. They'll let me sing. They'll let me facilitate. But they don't want to hear me preaching. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not preaching for them anyway. I'm preaching for the Lord. I'm preaching because I can't help myself. I can't stop. I have to preach. Because God knows if I could stop, I would stop. I wouldn't preach. I would rather allow my life to be seen. For as much as hypocrisy has been seen, as hard-headed as I've been, I need to be shown as an example. An example of the grace of God, an example of the goodness of God, an example of the love of God, the patience of God, power of God. I need to be and allow God to use me in the capacity that I refused to let him use me when I was younger. And even saying that makes me so ashamed that I wasted my youth being selfish, being sinful, being arrogant, being stubborn and hard-headed. If it had not been for the grace of God, if it had not been for the mercy of God, if it had not been for God being long-suffering and patient in my life, I would have never made it back home. Some of you know friends. Y'all left the church together. You came back. They didn't. Some of you know friends. Y'all left the church together. You came back. They're in prison. Some of y'all left the church together. You came back. And they're in hell right now because we were doing the same things. Listen, we've been given grace according to the measure of Christ on the inside of us. God did not extend mercy unto us that we may continue to waste our lives, to spend our substance, but he has allowed the Holy Spirit to woo us back into the fold. You might not, you might say, I've tried this, I've tried to do that, I pray, I tried to go to church, and I just couldn't get with it. It was too many hypocrites. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about hypocrites. It's hypocrites everywhere you go. It's hypocrites in the bar. If it wasn't hypocrites in the bar, why is the stick-up boys hanging up in there? If it wasn't hypocrites in the bar, why are people fighting and getting shot and getting robbed in the bar? Because some people come to the bar not to really party. They come to the bar not to really, you know, get drunk or to drink, but to look at who's drunk and who's drinking and who's gullible. Hypocrites. But guess what? On payday, we go right back to the bar. On payday, we go right back to the club. There are people that smile in your face and say they love you, and they really don't want a relationship. They want what you got, whether it's your substance or whether it's your body. They don't want you. They want what you can offer. Hypocrites. But yet, we still go out for relationships. But when they say it in the church, we leave church and don't want to come back. When it's the people, and people, listen, people are going to be wherever you go. God didn't do that. God has nothing to do with that. And listen, if right wasn't inside of you, you wouldn't recognize wrong. If you can recognize people that are living hypocritically, it's because God, in his righteousness, has put right on the inside of you that you won't live like you see. You can't use hypocrites as an excuse because Christ died for us individually. Christ is your Savior. God is your judge. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I'm excited about this prodigal son. I could really stay on this, his substance on righteous living and on the older brother not wanting to come in the house. Me and a friend discussed this a few months ago, and we asked the question, who was really the prodigal son? Was it the one that went out and tried to live and lost everything he had? Or was it the one that had everything he needed and never used it? That's a question right there. That's something to ponder. Because the father said, everything I got is yours. You had access to all this stuff whenever you wanted it. You could have had a party with your friends. The thing that you're saying you never had is because you never asked. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. Everyone that seeks, finds. Everyone that knocks, the door shall be open. I want to tell you, that door is open tonight. And his name is Jesus. He said, I am the door to the sheep. In me, through me, you can go in and out and find pasture. When we look for a savior, we're looking for an answer. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is the answer. You said, I've been to church. I've heard that before. But have you really tried Jesus? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He doesn't say learn church. He doesn't say learn religion. He said, learn of me. How do you learn of Jesus? God and his word are inseparable. God and his word. You want to learn Christ? Get into your Bible. Get into a Bible-based preaching and teaching church. Get into people that love God, that want to see you succeed. Get into study right now in the midst of how we are, where we can't come together. You need to get as much Bible in you as you can. And a lot of times we make excuses for victorious living. We make excuses for, I would say, we make excuses for weakness because we lack uses for principles because we lack discipline. We make excuses for the things we can't do, for the things we don't do, the things we don't want to do because we lack discipline. Christianity is a discipline. It's a way of living. A Christian is what Christ makes me. But Christianity is a discipline. There are things you have to put to death. There are things you have to give up. My goodness, I'm going into a whole new thing right there. So right here, what we want to do is ask you, if you don't know Christ in the pardon of your sin, we want right here to ask you to be born again. Ask you to come to Christ, to give God your heart. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God gave Christ as the propitiation, as the substitute for our sin, for our debt, to pay our ransom, to buy us back from sin and the devil and death. That if we believe that that's what he has done for us, that we shall be saved. Salvation comes from God. Salvation comes at the moment of confession. And then we learn of him. We learn to walk. We learn to live. If that's you, I want you to repeat with me the sinner's prayer. I want you to say what I say. I want you to say it and mean it, and God will do exactly what you asked him to do. After that, we're going to have our online pastor come and give some words and announcements and some information for you to further your walk in Christ. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Save my soul and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ask it in Jesus' name and to his glory. Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, come into my heart and become Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done exactly what you've asked. Let me pray for you, and then the next voice you'll hear will be that of our broadcasting pastor. God, we do thank you and we bless you. Thank you for these that have confessed Christ as Savior. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would seal them now, that you would touch them, that you would give them a tangible witness of your presence, God, that you would begin to lead and guide, correct their lives where there's error. In the name of Jesus, those that have just repented and those that have just repeated after me that, God, are saved, but just wanted a closer walk with you, I pray their strength, their continued encouragement, God, in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebukes you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. Loose your hold on the minds of the children of God, in the name of Jesus. God, I bind every infirmity, every affliction, God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would loose your healing virtue, your healing touch into the minds, into the spirits, into the body. Make us whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I don't know about y'all, but I love whenever anyone teaches or preaches on the prodigal son. Hallelujah, God, because no matter which way you look at that situation, redemption is there for those who desire to receive it. Hallelujah, and we praise God by faith for those this evening who have given their life to Christ. We encourage you to find that Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. We would like you to join in with us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. We will be broadcasting with The Dwelling Place at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening's Minister Dominique Hudson right here on www.blogtalkradio.com. /Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, to pray for you. Excuse me. Again, we thank and bless God for each and every one of you who joined in with us this evening for this, the 1,370th episode. Look at God moving of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you. We bless God for you. We are praying for you. Reverend Aaron, wonderful words this evening. The ministry is back in your hands.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We're excited. I'm telling you, we're excited about the things that God is doing, not just because he's doing it in us, but I understand and believe that God is not a respecter of persons. And as he's doing it in me, I know he's doing it in others. You know, I'm so excited about us coming back together. I'm telling you, on the leap, on the inside, I'm leaping. I can't wait for the first full service. I mean, no restrictions, no mask. You know, I'm just gonna go in there and act a fool. I tell you, I'm gonna have a time. I was talking to a guy that we go to prison together, and he's like, "You be shouting?" I was like, "Man, you don't know." I don't know if I can, but I know I'll be picking them up and putting them down. Man, listen, when I partied, I partied. You know, and when I'm going to get into the presence of the Lord and I found out that David danced out of his clothes, man, ain't nothing holding me back. I ain't coming out of my clothes. We ain't going to do that. But still, I'm going to enjoy the service as much as I can. You know, I thank God for you. And continue to pray for me. You know, continue to pray for me as we continue to move forward in the things of God. I'm expecting, my expectation for what God is going to do this year is really off the charts. You know, I'm thinking out of the box. You know, I heard a challenge, you know, to step out. Step out on that dream. Step out on that book. Step out on that ministry. Step out on that thing that you've been pondering on how to do, and allow God to show you who he is. My goodness, I'm talking to myself, I tell you. Oh, my God. Step out on that thing. As we look, we have to stop making excuses for our lack of, I want to say power, but that's not really the word that I'm looking for. You know, because while we're, and the devil has us busy with all these other things, how can we ever fulfill the purposes of God? Listen, one thing have I heard, the Lord spoke it once, I heard it twice. This is what the word of God says, that power belongs. Power belongs to God. Yes. The son of perdition has not been shown yet. The Antichrist has not been brought on the scene yet. So what are you saying? That means that power still is in the church. The Holy Spirit hasn't been lifted yet. That means that power is still available for you and I. My goodness, that's some good stuff right there. Power is still there. But it tells us in Jude that we must earnestly contend. See, the problem is we want it, but we don't want to contend. I don't want to jump all over the place on you, but you want what you want. When I looked at that S550, the first thing came to my mind is, how can I afford it? What can I do that I won't lack in any other area? And of course, the first thing came, to do that, you need more income. You see how some people minister. You see how some people do the things that they move in with ease. You see, and you want to know why you can't flow like that. are you willing to contend? Jesus, have mercy. Bible says if we can't even contend with the footmen, how can we deal with the horses? How can we fight against the chariots when we can't deal with foot soldiers? As we move into the things of God, children of God, help and ask God. Listen, I ask God, I don't care how much I know or how much I think I know. God, you got to help me. Listen, we can gain knowledge every day. We can increase in wisdom. We can increase in study. We can learn things that boggles the mind. We can learn things that people don't, I mean, talk above people's comprehension with the things that we've learned. We can preach people under the table. But 1 Corinthians says, even if I do all that, and my love ain't right. So I said, God, I don't care about anything else. I want to love right. I want to be able to look people in the eye because I knew I loved them right. Not gullible, not naive, not selfishly, not according to my own understanding, but according to how the Spirit leads. When we begin to do that, we know the gospel say they will know us by our love. Have you seen that in a church? Not in the building? Have you seen and met someone and said, you've got to be a Christian because of your love? You've got to be because of your commitment. You got to be. You got to know Jesus. When is the last time someone said that to you? I'm asking myself because I know I haven't heard it yet, but I'm looking to. So as we move forward into the things of God, there are questions we need to ask ourselves. What's the cost? What's the cost? What you want from God? Are you willing to pay the cost? Some of us are going to lose friends. Some of us are going to lose money. Yeah, because some of the things that we do now, we're going to have to stop to gain. My God, I can feel the increase already. Moving even through this phone, someone is increasing right now. Someone is saying, yes, God, I'm going to do it. Someone saying yes to the will of God right now, my God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that they're going to do exactly what God desires for them to do. You know, before we get off the air, we just have a few more minutes. If you're looking for some good Christian music, I still have my CD out. You know, Win Your Heart is still available on Google Play and CD Baby. You know, if you're looking to obtain a hard copy, you know, from me, you're in the Philadelphia area, or if you have a mailing address, you know, you can mail $15.95. The CD is only $10, but the $5.95 is for shipping and handling. And you just text me. My number is 215-900-2999. Again, that's 215-900-2999, and we can do a Cash App, and we'll make sure you get the CD. Other than that, you know, you just go on CD Baby and Google Play, and it's right there. But let's pray before we get off the air. God, we do thank you. Thank you for your word that's going out of your mouth. God, it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish everything that you've set it out to do. Thank you for the ear of every hearer. God, thank you that you've given them ear to hear what your Spirit says to the church. I pray your strength now. I pray, God, that you would cover them now, that you would seal that word that the enemy cannot snatch it out of their heart. God, I pray that you're covering and a hedge about their lives. Bless their families, God, and most of all, make them a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.